Welcome. It's This Is Going Well, I Think, with David Cooper. It's another day, another week. It's the show where everyone's listening, everyone cares, and nobody believes a word I say. Did I get that right? I am your host, David Cooper. I don't know if you can tell from my voice, but I'm feeling a little sick. Seriously, I might have COVID. I've been having wild dreams. But we'll get more into that later when we have Gary Dierenfeld on the show for Therapy Thursdays on a Monday. Gary's a social worker, a therapist, and a general all-around good talker in all things mental health. Here's what I'm going to talk about with Gary, sparked by a conversation I had with someone about how at every wedding you hear the father of the groom, the father of the bride, the father of someone give this wise advice: never go to bed angry. Well, I think that's total bullshit. My advice is go to bed angry, go to bed very angry, go to bed in a fight, and work it out the next day. We'll see what Gary has to say about that and other pieces of wisdom about how to have a good, healthy, long-lasting relationship. But first, this. And it's the Twilight Zone, the Seaman's Alive with Tony Five. Tony has been sending me updates from the cruise ship he's on to prove that the Seaman is alive. And his name happens to be Tony Five. Day 3.5, because Tony got the days wrong, April the 27th.
David, day 54 at sea. Feel like Tom Hanks in Castaway and Toy Story. And that one where he got AIDS. Been tough. Water everywhere. Not a drop to drink. I can see why Johnny Depp ended up in court with the old Pirates of the Caribbean malarkey. It can be tough at sea, David, tough at sea. But I've got my sea legs, mate. We're doing well. This is a more subdued update from Tony Five on the waves. Missing shore, David. Missing the sea. Missing water. Missing McDonald's. Missing chicken. Missing watermelon. Live from somewhere in the ocean is Tony Five.
Day 4, April 28th, hours I've run to the sea.
Shiver me timbers, day 4 of Tony 5, live at sea. So, a little bit of drama today. We were due to stop and go ashore in Valletta, Malta, but due to the very bad weather, windy weather, so I don't find it that bad, but the ship is rocking slightly. I just assumed that was the fat Americans walking from side to side, but he's not allowed to dock. So we are gonna go to anyway, we have a special guest with us. It's, yes indeed, for all you listeners out there, it is Misty V, Tony V's mother. Say hello, mum.
Hello.
It's not a phone, mum. Jesus, it's David. It's a recording. He's doing a radio show, so I'm recording every day. Yeah, so say hello, David, and to the listeners.
Hello, David. Hello, everybody. I'm really enjoying the cruise.
Anyway, if she carries on like that, we're going to make her walk the plank. But anyway, it's wonderful. So we now go off at sea a little bit more. I've got my sea legs. Thankfully, I'm not feeling sick. We're having a wonderful time. Love to you all, and I will be reporting tomorrow, day 5, hopefully in another port where we can stop over. And maybe one of these things, maybe some of the Americans have fallen off. You never know. Anyway, take care, guys. Lots of love. Tony out.
And also day 4, or I think day 4.5, because Tony just couldn't help himself.
Day 4.5. Tony's log, star date 174723. I think that's how they do it. So we've pulled into a commercial port, and we're not allowed out, but they are filling up the diesel as we speak. I think it's 4-star. Can you imagine how many points you would get if you were at a petrol station and you had to fill up a ship like this? Just a thought, but amazing, really. Spoke to the captain. I asked to have a go at driving the boat. He said no, but possibly later. So I'm going to hold him to his word. May have a good go about it later. Pretty easy to do. It's one massive straight line. And yeah, that's all good. So I thought I'd update you, David, and the listeners. We got rid of Mum earlier, pushed her overboard, a bit of a mutiny. We're all good. So ahoy there, shipmates, and tally-ho.
And finally, day 5, Monday, April the 29th, Tony 5, the seaman's alive. Or is he?
David, fellow listeners, fellow travellers, day 54 at sea, and it's getting desperate. We've run out of food, we've run out of rations. We'll probably have to start eating each other. I'm only f***ing joking, I'm on a f***ing cruise ship. Jesus, there's enough food for Americans, so I'm enough for, I could survive for a couple of years on it. And it's absolutely beautiful. I feel sorry for you guys. No, absolutely amazing. I'm in Sicily at the moment, about to go ashore. So for people who don't know, that means leaving the ship and going ashore. I'm going to have a walk about, check out some Italians, probably get a bit of pizza. And yeah, wander about. It's a wonderful experience at the moment. Really loving life, which is good, working on my tan. And yeah, I mean, the sea is beautiful, the Mediterranean is beautiful. Wonderfully, one of you guys has emailed David and saying that they would like a postcard. And if you don't know, I still offer that service. I like connecting with people. So if any of you guys want a postcard, David will probably give you his email after. Send me a nice message, or send him a nice message to forward to me. And I will give you a postcard. And when I die, like Picasso, it will be worth dollars. I mean, absolute dollars. Okay, so consider it an investment. Gonna go ashore now, probably eat something. And I'm having a wonderful time. This is Tony 5, signing out from the cruise.
So the seaman is alive. If you'd like Tony to send you a letter while he's abroad, just email me, david@jew.pizza. That's david@jew.pizza, not .com, .pizza. And I don't mean Tony sending you a letter while he's pretending to be a woman. I mean, well, he's not in England. Bit of a shorter show today because I'm a little under the weather, but let's bring them on. Gary Dierenfeld, Therapy Thursdays on a Monday, and our topic, the secret of healthy, lasting relationships. Gary Dierenfeld, mysocialworker.net. It's yoursocialworker.com. How are you, my friend?
I'm a little tired, but actually, having said that, I'm really good.
I've been having wild dreams the last two nights. In fact, last night's dream, I dreamt New York got nuked by 3 bombs. I was on the outskirts of the city, and I had to get out of the city. And I ended up somehow in the CNN building, even though that probably was destroyed in the blast. And then I pooped my pants, and then I woke up in the dream, and I'm like, oh, thank goodness, I woke up, New York is okay. And someone's like, what are you talking about?
And you're in a dream.
In the dream, I woke up from the dream, and yeah, New York had still been nuked, and I'd still pooped my pants. But then I woke up for real, and it turns out I didn't poop the bed. So yeah, I
don't. So firstly, thank God I'm not that kind of analyst.
I felt like a fever dream, and I'm like, am I going to tell my therapist I pooped? I don't know. I was more concerned about New York being nuked or me pooping my pants.
Okay, so speaking about fever dreams, I check in with a friend of mine who had COVID, and he says, Dierenfeld, I've had these crazy, wicked dreams. And then I thought for a minute, like, I had COVID about 2 months ago, and I thought, like, oh my God, he just triggered me. I had really crazy dreams as well when I had COVID. So I'm a research kind of guy. I went to the research to see if this is, you know, part and parcel with people who have COVID. Do they all have these wicked dreams? And it seems to be a pretty common phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, I woke up with a sore throat, but I tested negative today, so I'll keep testing, I guess.
Like, it's pretty bizarre when those weird and I can't even convey them to you now, but I remember they were so vivid. Actually, in one of them, I lashed out and I punched. My dog sleeps with Arlene and I, dare I say. And I hit the dog.
Oh, no.
And I startled the dog, punching our dog. And listen, I'm not that... I'm not running for a running mate with Trump, so I'm not that kind of person hitting dogs.
Wait, you punched the dog in the dream. You didn't punch the dog in the real life.
No, I punched the dog in reality.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Lashing out in my dream, and the dog, you know, startled and jumped up out of the bed. Arlene wondered what the heck. And, you know, I've had bad dreams in the past, and when I do awaken from them, I go, oh, that was a dream. Like, so I'm not bothered, but clearly that dream was out of control.
Okay. So I went down this odyssey to ask, is the reason for the tiredness because you didn't sleep well? That's how I got on this tangent. I was thinking, I didn't sleep well. I had the dreams.
Actually, last night I slept. I didn't even get up to pee. I'm a 68 year old guy with, you know, slightly enlarged prostate. And normal for my age, apparently. But I'm usually up to pee at least once or twice a night. I didn't get up till 7:45. Oh my God, did I ever have to go? But I actually had a good night's sleep. So I don't know. Sometimes you're just tired.
Okay.
I want to repeat that. Sometimes you're just tired. And, you know, regardless of age, and you have to take it in stride.
I'm impressed that you can get through the night without peeing at your age. My dad pees 45 times in one night.
Well, that was one in a row.
Yeah. Got a great streak going. Pardon the pun. Pee streak? I don't know. How's your Passover, Gary?
You know, I'm Jewish. You're Jewish. I really don't practice my religion. I couldn't kind of care less, but my wife does care that we practice, more so at this point for the grandkids. So we got together with extended kin on our side, my mom, my brother, his wife, and kid, and our kids. And it was actually lovely. It really was. It was lovely. But the flip side is whether or not we get together for Passover, yeah.
More about the family for you.
Totally.
Which I think leads nicely to what I want to talk to you about. I've got a salacious headline for this subject, but you'll probably make it less salacious. What's the secret to healthy relationships? Whether with a partner, a wife, a husband, it could be a sexual thing or it could be a family thing. I feel like you've got some very healthy relationships going on in your life, and it might not be an accident.
It's not an accident. I get along with my wife, she with me. I get along with our son and our daughter-in-law. I get along with her parents, and people know it's an interfaith, cross-cultural marriage that just isn't an issue. And I'll tell you the secrets. It's in two words: respect and boundaries.
I would have put it in four words. Don't be a jerk, which is actually saying the same thing.
Well, that's it. I'm saying the same thing in a more positive orientation, respect and boundaries. So what does it mean to have respect? It means allow people their own decisions, allow people their own thinking. You don't need to like it. You don't need to love it, but you can still respect that that's them. You take care of yourself, not them, with any issues that may arise. You manage your own feelings, not theirs. That's the boundary part. And boundaries is part of that respect as well. And when we set a boundary, people respect that too. Hey, Garrett, hey, dad, hey, brother, hey, son, can you do X, Y, and Z? You know, let me check my book. Let me see where I'm at. And that's a boundary. And when we set those boundaries, people go, okay, like if it doesn't work out for them, they accept it. They know that I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to limit my support of them. They appreciate, you know, people have other things on their plates too.
I like that. Boundaries goes both ways. You set them, you respect them.
Yes. Yes. Well,
the reason I was thinking of this the other day, for whatever reason, I was reflecting on my sobriety. I was talking to somebody about it. I'll hit 5 years in September, which is wild to me.
I'm very proud of you. Whether that's appropriate of me to say or not, I am.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I'm very good. I'm very well. I don't want it to sound I'm kind of one up. I'm proud of you. I'm sincere. I am proud of you. It's a hell of an accomplishment. It was hard fought. It's always hard fought.
It is. But this tip actually comes from lived experience. When I was drinking, me and Miranda would get into these petty fights when I was hammered at night. She might have had one or two. I might have had 10 or 20. Doesn't matter. But we get in these little fights and they'd be so stupid. And so we made this rule. If we get into a fight while drunk, either one of us can say, let's pick this up tomorrow. And if it's a nothing fight that is just alcohol fueled, then you're avoiding a fight. And if it's a serious fight, you're giving it the respect it deserves by discussing it when you're sober. So this was just a little trick that we had to avoid, you know, interpersonal, because there was still conflict going on because I was drinking too much and she was worried about me, but interpersonal fighting while drinking. And then I remember I would go to weddings, and this seems to be repeated in speeches. It's either the groom's father, the bride's father, the groom's mother, whoever it is. This is just this old cliche you hear a lot when young people are asking for couple advice from elder people. Don't go to bed angry. And I actually hate this piece of advice.
Oh,
because,
me too.
If we would go to bed by resolving the anger, we would just be picking at the wounds and wake up even more angry. So I came up with this, and I'm sure I'm not the only one to say this, but I always tell people the secret, because me and Miranda have been together for 10 years, and I was with my ex for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. Go to bed angry. That's my advice to a good relationship. Go to bed angry, sleep on it, and then the sober mind of the morning allows you to readdress the issue if you need to. And if you don't need to, it was just a silly fight that by sleeping it off, you can just say, hey, this was silly. Let's not even argue about it. Even better. So that's my advice. Go to bed angry.
I got news for you. It's very Jewish advice.
Is it?
Yeah. There's a story about, you know, some fellow asking the rabbi, what's the difference between Christianity and Judaism? To which the rabbi responds that in Christianity, you know, you can be held accountable for your thoughts, for your feelings. They're impure. Whereas in Judaism, there is a recognition that we can't always control our thoughts. We can't always control our feelings. However, in Judaism, we're responsible for behavior. Mm-hmm. So notwithstanding what we think, notwithstanding how we feel, we still hopefully possess the capacity to manage what we do. And, you know, what you're saying is so aligned with what I tell people as well. Despite your feelings, how are you going to manage them? You're allowed your feelings. I'm not here to argue your feelings. They're your feelings. How do you manage them? How do you control your amygdala when it's, you know, shrieking, attack, attack, attack? So that we put our frontal lobes in charge of our amygdala and think things through so that our behavior is reasonable despite our feelings. And I agree with you. If you're going to go to bed and you can't resolve it then and there, you will go to bed angry. It is such a misconception that we're going to resolve everything neat and tidy before some artificial deadline. No, but the rule is, if we're going to bed angry, don't beat each other up. Still remain respectful, still maintain those boundaries. That's why I come back to those two things as well, so that you can get up the next day and sometimes with clearer mind to resolve things more reasonably.
You've hit on something I really like here, and it has to do with impulses and behavior. And when we come back, I'm going to pick it apart here with Gary Dierenfeld, social worker, therapist, man about town, legendary playboy, or at least some of the things I'm describing him as. I'm David Cooper. We'll be back.
Oh, my God.
Gary, 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 whoops, Gary, whoops, Gary, 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 Gary.
Gary Playboy, apparently, from the last segment.
Okay, fine, you're not a playboy. I don't know. Sometimes I like announcing people as things they're not. Gary Dierenfeld, before you were talking about something that I truly believe, and it's that we can't control our impulses, and we can't always control our negative thinking. Your peer gets a promotion, and you think you deserved it more. You know, you get jealous because your partner's talking to someone attractive of the opposite sex. These are all things that maybe in our best, most ideal selves wouldn't bother us. Maybe in the promotion sense, oh, we're actually happy for this person. They worked hard. Don't compare myself to them. Maybe it's the partner. It's like, no, I'm not going to get jealous. I feel secure in this relationship. These are our ideals of who we are. But in reality, sometimes we get negative thoughts, jealousy, envy, all kinds of negative impulses.
And me, just to be clear, David, me too.
Yeah.
I'm this therapist. Don't for a moment think that I don't have my impure thoughts, my angry thoughts, my, you know, hostilities. But I've learned to manage them.
Sometimes I think my therapist sits with me and he thinks to himself, wow, this patient of mine's a jackass. But you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't say it. You know, he'll claim he doesn't think it, but that's besides the issue. I don't think we can necessarily control these things, but I do think we have control over how much we engage with them. Are we going to start a fight with our partner because they talked with someone of the opposite sex? Are we going to confront our coworker who got a promotion saying, I deserve this more than you? That's where I think we have control. And I also think we can control how much we engage with the negative thoughts. Are we going to give these thoughts in our head sort of first-class citizenship? Are we going to give them front row at the theater, or are we going to put them on the back burner? Are we going to say, take a deep breath and think, I don't really feel this way, or this will pass, or this is just a small part of how I feel and I'm not going to act on it, and move on to another thought? Or do we dwell on them? Do we marinate in them? I think that's where we have control as people, how much we engage with our thoughts and how much we treat them as first-class citizens.
Absolutely. And, you know, that forms the basis of cognitive behavior therapy. In cognitive behavior therapy, we are looking to manage those thoughts as they lead to behavior. So, you know, am I shooting myself? I should do this. I should, you know, so cognitively, I'm going to think I don't need to should myself. I can think this through. What are the consequences of doing this? What are the consequences of doing that? Which will be in my better interest or the interests of others. The other thing that I tell people about feelings is that for many people, their feelings actually betray them. You're triggered by something, but that trigger may be disproportionate. The feeling may be disproportionate to the triggering event, or it could be a misunderstood situation that creates that bad feeling. So whenever we have a big feeling, it's good to kind of sit back and say, where does that come from? What's it about? And maybe I should check out the appropriateness or veracity of it before acting on it. And how do I act in a way that's proportionate to what has really transpired versus how big the feeling is?
I feel like there's a push in pop culture where people are told their truth, their experience, well, is often true for things around discrimination, for things around, you know, historic injustice. These sorts of intuitions and feelings are very valid. But then, like, every little thing that pops in my head is my truth, therefore I should act on it, like petty jealousy, you know, real negative stuff, things that impacts others negatively.
Yeah, we tell people, trust your gut, trust your gut, trust your gut. Meanwhile, your gut, like I said, may betray you. Mm-hmm. And so we can't, feelings are just so immediate. That's why we want to sit back and we can certainly say, I have a feeling. I don't know if it's appropriate to the circumstance. That takes, talk about trusting your gut. That takes guts to acknowledge that and to self-examine before just acting on it. And, you know, that's what, again, cognitive behavior therapy is all about. We want to put thinking between feeling and doing. The degree to which we have capacity for that, it keeps us from getting into troubles. That, you know, this thing about boundaries, that is you managing your boundaries. That is you managing your feelings in a way that's productive. No one is sitting, I'm not sitting here saying those feelings are inappropriate. I'm just saying, are they proportionate to the events? Do they truly make sense? Are they triggered by a misunderstanding, a good understanding? And how do you want to manage that in a way that resolves things versus contributing to more bad feelings.
How can I tell the difference between the things where I should trust my gut and the things where I shouldn't? Is the secret just thinking, as you say, stopping and thinking and being rational about it as best you can?
Listen, sometimes we need to check it out. You did something the other day, you know, you say to somebody, you did something the other day that kind of irked me. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but you said such and so. I don't think you realize how it landed, if assuming that I heard it correctly. And so you're approaching the person seeking to clarify. You're withholding judgment. You're withholding anger. You're just seeking to clarify. And that is also being respectful, because I want to have a reasonable appraisal of what transpired. And if it was, you know, from my perspective, inappropriate, can we discuss that? Are you capable of hearing that? Are we capable of working that through? Versus lambasting a person because they created a bad feeling and now we've written that person off on the horse they rode in on. That doesn't make for successful, lasting relationships.
So if I feel like I can't tell the difference between trusting my gut, knowing that what someone did was wrong, or maybe it's kind of my problem, if you will, is sort of approaching it with positive curiosity, initially yes. seeing the best in the other person.
Thank you for what? Positive curiosity. I love that phrase that you just used. Approach it with positive curiosity. Look, I work with a lot of people who identify other persons in their lives as narcissistic. And there's a lot of gaslighting that goes on, misrepresenting the truth for one's personal gain. There's a quick definition of gaslighting. And so does this work, seeking to clarify with someone with that disposition? And the answer is likely no. If that is the case, rather than seeking to clarify with that person, you may want to speak with someone else, with a counselor, and as best you can, recount the conversation or recount the behavior and saying, am I crazy? Or was this appropriate, inappropriate? How should I deal with this? So that you can at least get a neutral perspective. And, you know, there could be bias, quite frankly, in how you're presenting it, but hopefully you present it well enough that the person seeking to help you can provide that neutral perspective.
As you mentioned, counselors and all that, one of my secrets for telling the difference between trusting my gut or not is discussing it with my therapist.
Yeah. You know, I have those kinds of conversations regularly with people. This is what transpired, blah, 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 blah. And in some cases, listen, you know, it's kind of reasonable what was told to you. The delivery may have in part been unreasonable. So you're reacting to the delivery. Let's turn down, you know, the volume on the delivery. Let's look at the content. And is there some truth to what was said? And how can you respond to the kernel of truth versus the delivery?
I love it. Gary, thank you for being here. Thanks for coming. I don't know. I always feel like you shouldn't, but I'm glad you do.
It's always a pleasure, David.
Gary Dierenfeld, his autobiography, his memoirs will probably be called Positive Curiosity and My Negative Incuriosity. Maybe we'll release them at the same time. I don't know.
I look forward to the next time, David.
Gary Dierenfeld, you can find him at yoursocialworker.com. That's our show. Hopefully I'm feeling better. And tomorrow I'll be back here with more The Siemens Alive with Tony Five and also a veterinarian to talk about pet buttholes or something like that. As always, thank you for listening. And doubly so on a day where I'm not feeling so great. And now the only reason you listen to the show, the music.